You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Rose Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
I wanted to teach on this before, and I just got a, you know, just a nugget that I found. I will say that I, you know, my eyes were open to, because it's always been there, but you know, that's the way the Word of God is. You read the Word of God, and you read the Word of God, and you read the Word of God, and you go over and over, and then something that you've read for years, you know, boom, comes alive to you. You know, hey, whoa, I never saw that before. You know, who put that in the Bible? But, you know, I've listened to Dad minister, as I have for years, and, you know, and some of the things that he says, and a lot of that you hear this morning that comes out of me will be Dad, because that's who I am. You know, I am my father's son, and what he's, you know, taught me over the years, and I've sat under the teaching of him will probably come out, so you hear a lot of the same things. I'm not reteaching his messages. I'm not reteaching his one message. I'm probably reteaching like several. You know, like there'll be parts and bits, because that's what's inside of me, so it's going to come out. But I want to teach to you this morning, or preach to you this morning, on bearing the name of Jesus. That, you know, that's what I mentioned last time I ministered. I said, the next time I get to preach, that's what I want to preach on. And hallelujah, glory be to Jesus, I get to do it this morning. I was in the middle of studying some of this, and boy, you know, Dad and I were talking, laughing the other morning, sitting in his office about how his mind works. My dad is a very intelligent person. And boy, I tell you, you can learn a whole lot, not just about the Bible, but you can learn a whole lot from Dad about all kinds of stuff, because he reads and reads and reads. And you know, he studies other things. He loves history, too, loves history. And genealogy, you know, we did a big study on genealogy on the family. But he was sitting in his office, and we were talking about a title. Ken, you know, takes titles down for the messages every service. So I come back, and I make sure, you know, that Dad hadn't changed his mind about a title, because Dad will tell you he's not a title man. And so I go back and confirm titles, and he says, you know, son, he says, I was just thinking, you know, about that message I was preaching, and he says, it's just crazy how your mind works, you know. He says, I was wanting to teach on this, and I was, well, I got studying about that, and I was looking at this example and this scripture here, and boy, I got thinking, you know, that's what so-and-so said over here, and he said, I got to going over there. I got to reading about that, and I got studying about that for a minute. And before long, I realized, well, that's exactly what so-and-so did whenever they were in this situation. And he goes over and checks that story out. And before long, you know, 5, 6 stories, examples, and scriptures later, you know, expounding on each one in this study, he finally gets to his message that he was going to minister on, which was not what he started out thinking about, you know, studying. I mean, of course, he used a lot of that, but, you know, that's how his mind works. You know, he's teaching about this, and thinking about this, studying about this, and then he, you know, moves to this. And you know how Dad says the scriptures stack up like train cars in the back of his mind as he's ministering. He says one thing, and then boom, you know, his scriptures just, you know. And before long, you know, he could be on several rabbit trails if he wants to. But this one is one of those that, and I was studying, some other things started coming to mind, and I started straying a little bit, and I thought, nope, I'm going to stay with this, because this is really what I want to minister on. But you know, the Bible is just so good, so full of good stuff for you, amen. And if you get in the Word and study the Word, you'll have the same experiences. You'll get to studying about one thing and reading about one thing, and something will come to mind. You'll go, oh, wait, you know, we'll go over here. Let's look at that example in that scripture. But today, lest we stray too far, time is against us. We want to talk to you about bearing the name of Jesus. And I tell you what, let's just go ahead and start in Acts. Acts 9. Let's turn to Acts 9. Now, there's not a whole lot of scriptures that actually use the word bear, you know, and the word bear itself, you know, is in this particular example that I want to use here, is really to hold up like you would a flag or a banner, to exalt, to bring glory to, you know, to put the focus on, you know. You have in you know, in the older times, a king would have a ring bearer, a cup bearer, a coat bearer. I mean, you know, he would have all kinds of these guys, and their job was to take care of that one item and to basically hold out, show off that one item, and when he called for it, well, they would go take it to him, you know. If it was the cup, you know, the guy sat there, he made sure that cup was clean, and it was full, it had fresh, you know, liquid, whatever it was in there, water or juice, whatever it was, it was ready to go, and he would hold that up, and that would be his job. He's supposed to hold that out there. That's, you know, and boy, he was proud of that job. Boy, he took pride in his work. You know, the cupbearers, the coat bearer, the coat guy, you know, the guy taking care of the coats, he would make sure it was clean and that it was, you know, didn't have wrinkles in it. And it was ready for the king whenever he called for it. And he, you know, was ready for it. So in this case, that's the example that I'm using, that we would bear the name of Jesus. We would hold it high. We would make it, you know, known that we would exalt that name and bring glory to that name. Hold it up like a flag. You know, what's the song, My Redeemer Lives, you know, says, My Redeemer Lives, says, I'll raise a banner. I'll raise a banner. My Lord has conquered the grave. Jesus lives. I mean, that's in essence, we're bearing the fact that Jesus lives. We are Christians. We believed on the Son of God. We believe that He did rise again. And so by doing that, we have entered into a covenant. Well, we talked about that, into an agreement. Not only that, we've entered into a family. And now we have a responsibility as a family. You have a name that you bear. Okay? You have a name that you bear. Melissa took on Tommy's name when she married him. Cecilia took on my name. You know, her name was Cecilia, and I won't tell you her middle name because she would probably, you know. Cecilia De La Rosa was her last name, but now it's Cecilia Williams. Sissy Williams. You know, I'm East Texas, so you know, Cecilia. Cecilia, but anyway, but she took on my name, and you know, as you are born into a family, you take on that name. You know, I was born to my mother and father, and thus I took on the name of Williams. You know, Williams was the name that I took on. Mo took on Kennedy. You know, and so whenever you are born into a family, you take on a name. And Dad uses the example of how that his dad always told him. He says, "Now, son, you're Williams. Whenever you get out in town, whenever you get away from this house here, you act like a Williams. Don't forget who you came from. Don't forget where you came from. You're Williams." You know, and in other words, he was saying, you know, be respectful, be kind, be courteous, be helpful. You know, do the right things because you're representing a family. Yes. You're bearing the name. Amen. So as a Christian, we need to bear the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, we need to hold it high. We don't need to hide it. We don't need to put it in our, you know, like you would a car, put it in your back pocket, in your wallet or something, you know, and only pull it out when you need to, you know. That's what some people do, you know. Well, I'm in a jam, you know, I need some help here. Let's see if I can pull out this number here, dial up Jesus, you know. No, Jesus should be out here, you know, should be right here. And every time something happens, whoa, wait a second, you know, what would Jesus do in this situation? What do I need to do? I'm going to counsel with Him, you know, and I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to bear the name of Jesus here, you know, I'm going to show forth His glory and exalt Him in this situation. To the Scriptures. Acts 9. It's a good thing to turn there, you know, if you're going to read that Scripture. Turn to Acts 9. All right. And this is, I like this, and this is where this jumped at me whenever I was reading this, talking about bearing the name. And let's just read, let me give you a little background. Saul, who had been persecuting the Jews, the Christians, you know, had the encounter with the light, Jesus, when, you know, God shows up, you know, why are you persecuting me? Jesus, you know, shows up and says, hey, you know, and he's blinded, and he comes in to Damascus, and Ananias is there, who was a disciple, and God's talking to Ananias, telling him, hey, I want you to go lay hands on this guy, and he's going to, you know, the blindness is going to go. And he's going, do you know who this guy is? You know, he kills people like me. Okay, you know, that's what he's done. You know, he's been on this crusade of killing people. You know, are you sure you want me to do this? And so the response was this, verse 15. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him, and it goes on. He's verse 15 again. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. You know, Saul's life was changed. And he no longer, in fact, he even had his name. His name was even changed from Saul to Paul. And so, you know, he had a change in names there, not just from Saul to Paul, but also in the name that he would bear. You know, he would bear not the name of you know, the devil, basically, you know, killing, stealing, destroying, but he was bearing the name of Jesus. And how many of you know Paul did, you know, great and mighty things, wrote, you know, many of our books, and more of the New Testament than anybody else. 13 books, you know, or 12, 13 books, but anyway, depending on who you think wrote Hebrews. But anyway, that, you know, Paul bore the name of Jesus. That was a name that he, after this encounter, he had a life changing on the inside of him. How many of you had a life changing in your life? I mean, you know, maybe in my situation, which, you know, I was delivered from drugs and alcohol and jails and all these things, because I never had to go through any of that. But there are other people that weren't as I was. I grew up knowing Jesus. You know, I was saved at a real young age, 3 or 4, and baptized in the Holy Ghost by 4 or 5. And you know, all I knew was the Bible, and all I knew was Jesus, and all I knew was going to church every time the door opened. And, you know, and so that's what I knew. But I didn't have, you know, to experience what some other people did have to experience, and that was, you know, living a life in sin, you know, for however many years, 1, 2, 3, 4, 10, 20, 40, 50, and then becoming a Christian. But at that time, even at my young age, at 3 and 4, or whatever, you know, age that was, when I accepted Jesus, I was born into a family. I born into a new family. And I took on a new name. You know, I took on a new name. And you that have, you know, done the same thing, become Christians, have taken on a new name. And there's been a change in your life. You know, no longer are you exalting, glorifying, raising the banner of sin, but now you're raising up the banner and the flag and shouting, proclaiming Jesus. Amen. You're bearing that name. And, you know, it's I think this, basically, this is just a reminder for you that when you go out into the world, children, sons and daughters of the living God, you know, remember where you came from. You now have a different origin, okay? You have a new birth, a new origin point. That point is salvation. Whenever you became a Christian, and again, how many Christians we have here? How many of you can remember the time you became a Christian? All right, well, from that point on, you've got a new origin, a new birth. Remember where you came from. Remember whose name you bear. Remember, and not just from the aspect of, in fact, we're going to get into this a little deeper here in just a minute, but not just from the aspect of you know, being a good person and doing the right things and representing God and being a mirror of what Jesus did on the earth and, you know, living, striving and living your life to represent Jesus and be this, as, you know, good a person, as perfect a person as you can be. Although I know we all fall short, we all mess up, and we sin, but hey, you know what? We pick your feet back up, you know, jump back on your feet, pick yourself up, move on, go on. A righteous man may stumble, he may fall, but he's not utterly cast down. He is not utterly cast down. He rises again. Okay? When we mess up, we have faults, we have problems that take place in our life, we rise again. We stand up on our feet, and we go on. All right? Because we're bearing the name of Jesus. There will be times when we mess up, but hey, we're striving to be like Jesus. We want to be like Him. And when obviously, to be like Him, we need to get into His Word and see how He was. Amen. See how He lived His life. You know, what did He do in this situation? Did he turn His back on this person? Did He offer to help them? What did Jesus do? And what would Jesus do at this time in your life that you may need a decision, you know, made? So anyway, bearing the name of Jesus. Now, as I said, with that, there comes some responsibility and authority that comes with that as well. You know, we use the example. In fact, I tell you what, let's turn to Ephesians 5. And, you know, like normal, this, I had several, you know, paths that I thought I could, you know, make this work out. But hallelujah, the Holy Spirit's here and He's leading and guiding. This is the direction we're going. This is going to be good stuff. Amen. And I'm going to, in Ephesians 5, Boy, I tell you what, we're getting on the women now, women and the husbands, wives and the husbands here. I'm not using this as an example. I'm not teaching on marriage. I'm actually trying to relate this to our situation here as Christians. How many of you know that we are the bride of Christ? Tommy taught a message on, or mentioned in one of his messages about, you know, the bride and the groom and what, you know, the groom does and the Jewish custom and all that stuff, and really good stuff. Also about the robe and just different things. You know, Tommy's done some real good studies on some of the culture of that time. And so get with him if you have some really detailed questions. I can answer some, but he would be able to answer more in that particular area now. But, you know, the bride and the groom, that whenever the Jewish custom was then, whenever they had been selected to marry, you know, the groom had to go off and build a house. You know, he had to have a place to live before he took his bride. He had to go off and he had to prepare this house and have it ready. And then not only that, the dad, he had to come inspect everything, make sure it was right. Didn't he have to come over there and say, no, son, that's not going to work. You know, you're in too big a hurry here to get married. I want you to go fix that and fix that and fix that. You know, let's get this thing right. He came over and he inspected. And so in a similar situation here, we have Jesus, who is, you know, the husband to the church. How many of you know we're the church? Say, I'm the church.
I'm
the body of Christ. Amen. And he has gone to heaven to prepare a place for us.
Amen.
Just like the groom has to go and prepare the house, you know, we are having a house prepared for us in heaven. And, you know, when the Father says, you know, everything's taken care of and it's done and he approves it, then he'll say, okay, son, go get them, you know. And that's what they did in the Jewish custom. He'd say, okay, son, you know, your house, everything in the house is ready. It's, you know, you can go, you know, receive your bride. And so, you know, we see that example taking place in our lives as Christians. And we refer to as the bride of Christ. And again, the example here, whenever a bride is taken, by a man, that she takes on his name, takes on his bank account. She has, you know, rights and access to anything that you know, man has. That's, you know, car, truck, house. The house becomes theirs, you know, or hers. Because, you know, the women, they're the ones that do all the decorating. It basically is their house anyway. We just, you know, the guys come home and we have, you know, very minute section of the houses that belong to us. You know, maybe the recliner and then like, you know, this part of the bed is ours, you know. You know, her side and then our side, you know. So, you know, the rest of the house is really hers. So, you know, everything becomes hers. Amen. And she has rights and access and I say that jokingly, you know, we solved that problem. We have two recliners now. That way I can have one. So, you know, my granny, she gave me a recliner. It was one that whenever I used to go to center, that, you know, I really loved. That's my favorite recliner to sit in. They had two or three, and that was the one I liked. And so, you know, when they bought new recliners, she sent that down so that Sissy could have a recliner because, you know, she loved me so much, and my wife loved the recliner more than me, I think. I'm just teasing. It was the ugliest looking thing, but it was the most comfortable recliner you ever sat in your whole life. But anyway, back to the example here. The wife, you know, can draw upon the account, you know, the bank account, or can use the things that you know, the husband has, you know, the cars, the trucks, and the lawnmowers, and women, you can use lawnmowers. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, power tools. You know, but they have access to that. And we as a church, we have access to the bank account of heaven. You know, and all the things that Jesus, you know, would use here, his authority that he used here on earth, we have that same authority. You know, we have the same power. We've been commanded to use that power and use that authority to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And in my name, and in my name, and in my name, and in my name, bear the name. In my name, do this, and in my name, do that. Let's read this before we get too far ahead. Let's go to in Ephesians 5. Let's go to verse 21. Well, verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. Now, I want you to look at this from a different angle here. I want you to think about this in a different way. And also want to define submitting. You know, submitting is not, you know, submission is not necessarily that you're being lorded over in a, you know, in a bad sense. You know, it's not like the husband commands the wife to do things and the woman must obey. You know, there, the way God set the relationship up was that the man would make, you know, a final decision on certain things, and that, you know, hey, as a man, you've got to, when you make decisions, you've got to take responsibility for that decision, be it wrong or right. But, you know, and at the same time, we're going down here, we'll see a little bit more of this. The husband's supposed to make sure, he's supposed to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Christ was like the husband to the church, and he's supposed to love his wife like Christ loved the church. And if you love your wife like Christ loved the church, then you wouldn't ask her or command her to do anything that, you know, Jesus wouldn't ask us to do. Amen. So now, but I want you to look at this from a different angle. I want you to think about this as we are the wives, okay? We are the wives in a sense. You know, the church is the bride of Christ. We're the wives of Christ. And we should submit ourselves to Jesus, okay? As it says here, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. Jesus, it goes on, even as Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the head over us, and we should submit ourselves and, you know, and submit to his authority and say, hey, you know what? Jesus is, I'm going to operate underneath his authority. I'm not going to go out on my own and gallivant and try to do my own thing here, desperado style. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to do what Jesus would have me to do. I'm going to submit to his authority. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as a church is subject unto Christ, we are subject to Christ. Let the wives be unto their own husbands and everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ has also loved the church and gave himself for it. So again, I'm not teaching on marriage, but husbands, love your wife so much you give yourself, you give your life for her. You know, I mean, that's, I do for my wife. I love her. Amen. So, we are the bride of Christ. We should submit ourselves to Jesus, the name above every name. The name above every... I mean, Jesus was given... go back. Ephesians... let's go... let's turn to Philippians, sorry. Philippians 2. Yes, Philippians 2. Verse 5. Just over a couple of chapters there. I mean, a couple of pages there. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has also hath exalted him, highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name. Everybody say above every name.
Above every name.
Now say it like you mean it. Above every name. That is the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen? To the glory of God the Father. Jesus has a name that is above every name. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. We have the power in that name. He has granted us the authority in the name of Jesus, the power of the name of Jesus, and he's commanded us to go. In fact, I tell you what, let's go ahead and just turn to Matthew real quick. Bible drill. Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Raise your hand whenever you get there. Jane is fast. Wow. I used to win all the time, too, you know. I was really quick. She's giving me a run for my money. Okay. When you find the scriptures, say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
That's about three-fourths of you. Are we all there? Amen. Let's see. It says here in 28, chapter, verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, everybody say all power. Well, I tell you, y'all are excited this morning. Everybody say all power.
All power.
Woo! All power.
All power.
Yeah, there we go. Somebody in the back is getting a hold of it back there. All power is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Now what? Now what happens? A transfer takes place here. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you to do. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth, or the world. Amen. Now, a transfer takes place right here. Jesus says, all power has been given unto me. Okay? I'm Jesus. I'm now the husband of this relationship. And now I'm commanding you to go, now that you're the bride of Christ, church, I want you to go take the power that I've been given, which is all. Say it loud, Tommy.
All.
Very good. He's a good student right here. He's been paying attention. Jesus says, I want you to take this power that's been given me, which is all power. Exactly. All power. And I want you to go into all the world. I want you to go and baptize and do this. Turn to Mark real quick. It gets a little more detailed. Bible drills. Mark 16. Tell me when to get there. I beat Jade. Say amen when you find it.
Amen.
Amen. Good. Y'all are getting fast. Y'all are. Well, I'll tell you what. Y'all did Bible drills when y'all were in children's church, didn't you? Amen. Oh, he got home. Dave just got there. Hey, you know what? Steady. Steady as you go. That's the way to do it right there. The turtle, tortoise, is the one that won the race, right? Amen. Mark 16, verse 15. And he said, being Jesus, go ye into all the world. Wait a second. Who is this Jesus who has what power?
All
power. Okay. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them who... That believe. Are you a believer?
Amen.
Amen. In my name. And I just, you know, when I was reading this, this is the way I kind of read it. So just stay with me on this. In my name they shall cast out, or in my name shall they cast out devils. In my name they shall speak with new tongues. In my name they shall take up serpents. And that's not necessarily taking up snakes. You know, that's not a literal translation there. We have places for you in Kentucky if you do that. And if they drink any deadly thing in my name, they shall not, it shall not hurt them. And in my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. In my name. In my name. In the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus that we bear. We have responsibility now, not as Christians, not just to hold the name high, to represent Jesus, to do good on the earth, to be a good person and a holy person, righteous person. But we have responsibility now also to do the work that comes along with being part of the family. You know, some people's last names actually defined what that family was known for and what they did. You know, you have the Coble. Coble, I'm just thinking here, might have come from cobble. You know, what was a cobbler? What did he do? Made shoes. So maybe in the past, we might do a little research on that, Brad. Brad's family might have been shoemakers. I tell you what, if they were, I know how Brad is. He would make a good shoe. That boy can work. You can ask anybody that's ever done any work with Brad. The boy works, and he does a good job. And his supervisors are proud of him. He shows up on time. He's there every day. Never calls in sick. That he's got to be laying on the bed, you know, with everybody laying hands on him, praying for him not to go into work. And then when he gets there, he does a good job. He does a good job. He does it the right way. Does it fast. Saves the company tons of money. He would do a good job at building shoes, making shoes. Amen? Okay, what's another name? Example of names that you, let's see, Oh, wait, there's another name. Baker. Yeah, baker. That's an easy one. What do? They weave stuff, right? Weaver. Bakers, they bake things, you know. They have weavers that weave things. You know, a name represents, in times past, what they did a lot of times. I mean, that was, and they were known for it. Boy, I tell you what, the weavers, they were good at weaving. They were really good at it. You know, they were known for it. Their name represented that. Well, we bear the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is a name that represents healing, deliverance, salvation. It represents peace and joy. It represents all these good things. We're known for that. We bear the name. That's the family we're part of. Amen? Do it right. Do it proud. Do it happy. Do it glad. Do it right. Do it right. Do it put your best effort into it. You know, 110%. I mentioned that in a message before. I ask my boys whenever I'm coaching, you know, soccer and baseball and everything else. I said, give 110%. What is that? What is 110%? It's everything you got plus a little more. I mean, and I know for a fact we did this and when I was growing up as a kid and science experiments, I don't know exactly what it was, physics, I think it was physics. And they were talking about, you know, I want you to reach over here and I want you to stretch as far as you can and try to get something. Okay? Well, and you go, oh, I mean, you know. Put into something. Sometimes we put our all, we think, but give 110% into representing the name of Jesus. Give everything you got and a little more. Push harder. Be a representative of Jesus Christ. Do it as good as you can do it and a little more. 110%. Amen? Well, and here it says, in my name they shall cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They, in my name, will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. They shall recover. Let's turn to John 14. I'm there. Actually, I forgot to say I'm there. I was there first. I just did. Amen. How many of you are glad to be here this morning? Is this good? Is this helping you? Amen. Be a representative. Bear the name. Bear the name. This is good. And this came alive to me while I was studying, too, that was just tying this together was just the Holy Ghost. So hopefully this will come alive to you as it did me. And it will be the last closing nuggets that I have for you because we're about to dismiss. But John 14, verse 12. Verily, verily, I say to you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. How many of you know that because Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, and he's transferred that power and authority to us, that now we're going to be able to do the same works that he did. Now, and I'm of the persuasion, I believe, along the same lines that Dad does too, that, and again, this is speculation. This is not Bible doctrine. This is not going to let you, you know, it's not going to determine whether you go to heaven or not. But I believe that the greater works is in quantity. Obviously, Jesus was one man on the earth doing all these works. And, you know, he did some pretty miraculous things. And I believe that when he says, you know, even greater works than these, it means more so in quantity because there's thousands of little Jesuses running around out here now that can do the works of Jesus. And so, obviously, the works that are done are going to be greater in number than what Jesus did. Amen? Now, obviously, that doesn't limit you to doing the exact works of the miraculous things that Jesus did either. We can do what Jesus did because we have the name. Amen. Say, I have the name.
I have the name.
All right. It says, greater works than these shall you do because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever, everybody say whatsoever?
Whatsoever.
Ye ask in my name, that will I do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. How in the world is the Father glorified in the Son because you believe on the name of Jesus? Well, it's because you believe on the name of Jesus and something takes place. You believe on the name of Jesus and a miracle takes place. And what happens? You tell your friends. You won't believe this. Well, yeah, you will because I'm going to tell you and you're going to believe it. I prayed and I asked Jesus to help me in the situation, and man, he met my need. And you know what? When you share that, the Father is glorified in the Son. Even though the Son's not here, the name's still here, the power's still here. You represent Jesus. Now you're doing things in the name of Jesus, and the Father gets glorified because you're bearing the name. God gets glorified because you bear the name, because you're doing what you're supposed to do as a Christian. You're using the authority. You're walking in that power. You're walking with that authority, and you're living the life that you should. And so the Father gets glorified in the Son. Verse 14, if you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I will do it. Jesus said he'll do it. Now, this is what I thought was really neat. Let's jump over to John 15. I'm there. Just teasing. Okay. John 15. Now, I mentioned this before in another message, too, about being branches of the true vine. But, man, this just really came alive to me. And like I said, I hope this stirs on the inside of you, too. Verse 7 of chapter 15. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will. And how will you ask? In the name. You'll ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Why would you bear much fruit? Because you're bearing the name. If you bear the name, if you walk in the authority of the name of Jesus, then you're going to bear much fruit. You will have much fruit bearing in your life, and that is how the Father is glorified, just like it says over here in verse 13 in chapter 14. Back over 15, it says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So shall ye, as a disciple, when you bear the name and you use the authority that's given to you by that name, as you walk in the footsteps of Jesus on this earth, you do the things that you've been commanded to do, you're going to bear much fruit. And by bearing much fruit, the Father is glorified. And he is magnified. He's lifted up. And you're raising the banner of the Father and saying, look what God can do for you. Look what he's done for me. Look what he can do for you. Amen. Bear the name.